Hey, all you out there in listener land, it's that time again, time for Asian Cult Cinema. My name's Mao, and this is show 89, for those of you keeping score at home. I don't know if anyone is. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I'm not sure. I did want to say I have probably the craziest choice that I've brought to the table yet, and that's a good thing, but it is truly something. The movie I picked for this week is Tokyo Tribe. Before I get into that, I wanted to say, if you like B-movies, make sure you go to slowrobotagogo.wordpress.com, or you can go to bunchofdorks.com. They're kind of have the same thing. Bunch of Dorks has a couple other podcasts on there. And also make sure, you know, if you're the listener of Radio St. Pete, make sure you go to the Audio Archives tab and check out my other show I do with Promi, and it's called The Indie Circuit. That's a new, not new, that's the oldest show I do. The Indie Circuit is all about just independent music, and now that I have Promi with me, a little bit more talky talk, because he brings interesting items to the table, which is always a fun thing. He's a great co-host, and, you know, Indie Circuit is a lot of fun. I do have a bit of, I guess, not house cleaning, but important announcement for this show here. As I've been doing the Asian Cult Cinema, of course, Dr. Morbius has since gone to the back to Parts Unknown, and he is not on the show. And I'm noticing a real difficulty maintaining the show with just a single person's point of view. That being said, I have talked it over with, you know, Radio St. Pete corporate headquarters, and we sat down for meetings and discussed demographic shifts and blah blah blah. And it came to the conclusion that I wanted to transition this show out, and I'm going to start doing a music show based on Japanese and Korean music, obviously Asian cult music. I don't know what we'll call it. I haven't even thought of a name yet. I'm going to try and rope Promi into it. He is incredibly busy, but I think I can strong arm him into doing that. In which case, then it'll be, you know, an hour long music show. The format will probably mimic very much the Indie Circuit, where a little bit of talk, lots of good music. I'll try and bring lots of knowledge about the bands I'm playing, because I have a really, really nice collection of Japanese like punk and garage punk and psychobilly and some nice sweet stuff. A lot of you know, Audrey Benton, Japan Night is every year. I get a lot of promotional stuff from her that I can play. And I'm constantly reaching out to the different bands as I get more and more exposure, and they start hearing about me and knowing about me. So I started noticing that Indie Circuit was playing more and more and more Japanese music, and I'm kind of like, well, that's fine, but I also like to use the Indie Circuit for independent music. I have a lot of great music. Radio Candy sends me music. I have a couple. There's a couple of promoters that constantly send me really interesting music. So, I talked with corporate headquarters and said, I think it might make a lot more sense if I do a Japanese Asian punk show. Music show, and then the Indie Circuit, which is just any independent music, any wacky stuff that's out there, and I find the wackiest. So I guess this is a long-winded way of saying this will be the goodbye. I think, because this is show 89 and I'm kind of a completist, I did always mention I'm going to do a Pinky Violence movie, so I think I'm going to do one more. This one, of course, today's show 89 is going to be all Tokyo Tribe, and I think I'm going to come back one last time, one more hurrah, and I'm going to bring to you one of the classic Pinky Violence movies that I've often referenced throughout the years. that's a guilty pleasure, I guess. That's one of my... I like that genre. And it is nasty and sexist and ugly and lewd and crude and rude, and there's always nude. But it is... I don't know. There's just something endearing to me about it. It is always revenge. It's always nasty, you know. And so I think I want to end on 90. So I'll, you know, this one will be 89. Then I think I'll do one more Slow Robot, or I'm sorry, Asian Cult Cinema show, where I just talk about the Pinky Violence movie and probably the genre as a whole. And then we will say sayonara, as they say in Japan. And then it will just transition. I think what we're going to do, instead of having this time slot, so this time slot will be this week and then one more week probably. And then I think what's going to happen is it's going to transition. So I'll do 10 to midnight on Saturday nights. And the first block will be Indie Circuit, and the second block will be Asian Punk Arama. I don't know what we'll even call it yet. That's the other thing. I need to think of name. I need to think of the branding. I need to think of the logo. I need to put up a Facebook page. Oh my God, I'm exhausted already. I haven't even done the changeover. That's where I'll also try and rope Promi into helping me with at least some of that. Now, he's very busy. So I didn't want to start off with such a negative mood. If you're a super fan of Asian Cult Cinema, thank you for the many years of listening to me prattle on about some of my favorite stuff. Kung Fu movies, of course, has always been a staple here in Asian Cult Cinema. And, you know, this is one of those things where, okay, it's run its course, time to transition. I really felt it last week's show. I don't know if you listened to last week's show. God, I just got done watching the movie and I was having trouble even talking about the ending, my brain was frazzled, and, you know, you have off shows, and you have times where you forget stuff, but it was one of those things where I was like, you know, with doing a solo gig, I can do a solo music gig with my eyes closed, because I've done it for so many years, but doing the movies where I have to present, and really talk about well thought out, you know, themes, and juxtapositions, and stuff, and I'm like, I can't do it anymore. So that was part of what transitioned my brain into saying, time to hang this one up. But you got this one, and then you got one more. And what I chose for this week, but before I get into that, I will say I ordered, I went online after Christmas and spent some of my Christmas money that was just burning a hole in my pocket, and I ended up getting the soundtracks for Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. And I got them on vinyl, and it was the oddest thing. Because I put in the order, and everyone knows, if you know Guardians of the Galaxy, you know that iconic like tape player, the wood grain, it looks from the 70s, it's on the ship that they fly around. And it always says, like, awesome mixtape 1, awesome mixtape 2. The UK version of those records comes in that sleeve, that's what it has on the front. The American versions have, like, these picture discs things. I was like, why? Who made that choice? So obviously, I ponied up the extra money and, you know, bought the UK versions so I could get the cool covers. I was like, oh boy. Because, you know, soundtracks, I like soundtracks quite a bit, but those, my God, those are some of the best soundtracks out there. I always like the Tarantino soundtracks are always good. Of course, some of the spaghetti westerns, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and stuff like that I have on vinyl because they're just some of the greatest compositions ever, and the Star Wars the first couple Star Wars were really beautiful. But yeah, I had to pony up for the UK version. Get on point, America. What are you doing? Yowza. Alright, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into the movie that it's going to be the strangest movie I think we've done, and that's saying something. It's Tokyo Tribe from 2014.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
The Legend of Frankenstein once again brings terror and nightmare to the screen in Lady Frankenstein. Joseph Cotten is Baron Frankenstein.
But in his face!
Devil with his face, I don't care what he looks like. I want him to live.
Sarah Bay is Lady Frankenstein.
That is what they called your father's life's work, a monster, and they're right.
They are not right.
She's beautiful, she's evil, and she'll do anything for love.
Would you like to have my body bend to you? Would you like to make love to me?
She creates a new, more terrifying monster, and only the monster she creates can satisfy her strange desires. Using her beauty and her scalpel, she cuts deeply into men's hearts.
Yes, you're right. Kill it.
There has never been a movie like Lady Frankenstein. Rated R.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. Second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. Third rule of Fight Club. Someone yells stop, goes limp, taps out. The fight is over. Fourth rule. Only two guys to a fight. Fifth rule. One fight at a time, fellas. Sixth rule. No shirts, no shoes. Seventh rule. Fights will go on as long as they have to. And the eighth and final rule. If this is your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight.
Okay, we are back. Lady Frankenstein. Ooh, spooky. So anyway, now on to this show, as they say. Sorry for the long-winded discussion about where my future is headed. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I chose Tokyo Tribe from 2014. Now, I've never heard of this. I literally just typed in Japan into a search engine, and this popped up, and I started watching it, and I was like, well, I'm going to keep watching this, because the very first part of it is this guy's rapping about this dystopian. I think it's an alternate Japan, but it looks like it's a future after some wars or whatever. But I think it's set in an alternate Japan, and it's listed as the world's first rap battle musical. And I said, huh? So I watched through this thing, and I didn't know anything about Tokyo Tribe or anything about it, you know. And turns out this is a movie based on a manga, doesn't matter. And this movie is like crazy. It looks like it's a late 1980s rap video in the pastels and the fashions, but it's also like futuristic and like West Coast, East Coast gangster violence, and like the guns are gold with all the bedazzled all over them, you know. And it's such an interesting, odd mashup. And it just works. And I don't know why it works. Nothing about this movie should work. It's rapping, so, and it's in Japanese, so it sounds good in Japanese, but when you're reading the words, obviously the words don't flow like a rap would. That doesn't distract. I mean, I'm just saying you're reading it, so this would be one of those movies that's perfect if you're a gaijin and you're learning Japanese and you want to learn how to speak actual Japanese, not book smart Japanese. This is the movie. How they always say, people like, oh, they only learned English by watching G.I. Joe or watching this would be it, because there's cursing and slang and really nasty speak. If you wanted to be a thug, he would just memorize a lot of the lyrics, a lot of the stuff in this. It's like one of those one-off oddities that is just brilliant and strange. Like, my head kind of hurt when I was watching it, but it was like that kind of hurt like a brain freeze. Like, it hurt, but you couldn't stop because you're like, oh, I like this so much. It's such an oddity. So, you know, the storyline is, in an alternate Japan, territorial street gangs from opposing factions, collectively known as Tokyo Tribes, they're always kind of warring. Mira, the leader of the Wurons tribe of Bukuro, joins forces with heavy-hitting sadistic gangster Bupa of Bupa's town, not to be confused with Parappa, the rapper. With Bupa's support, Mira aims to initiate gang war between the Wuros and the Musashino Saru. In a confrontation between the two, it would attempt to kill off all the popular members of the Mususharo Kai. By mistake, Mira instead kills Kai's friend Terra, and this leads to joining forces all-out Tokyo Tribe in an all-out war. I will say, the very first scene, there's these police pull into this rainy, it might as well be, you know, the Japan they show in Blade Runner. It pulls in the street, and a young cop jumps out of the car, and she looks like she's a stripper. Well, she is a stripper. She's not a stripper, but she's a stripper. And she's like, I'm going to go arrest that guy. He's dealing drugs. And she confronts Mira, and he grabs her and rips her shirt open, so we're seeing breasts right off the bat, and he takes a switchblade and he puts it to her stomach, and he's outlining the various gangs that own Tokyo that are part of the tribes that own each piece. You know, and so she's naked and she's screaming, and the older cops in the car are like laughing because they don't like her. She was a rookie, so they didn't care about her, which is, I don't know. It was kind of weird. It was like kind of the exposition train pulled up on this woman's breasts, because he takes the switchblade knife and he's like, oh, and here's the girl gang, and then there's like the hardcore girls and each one of them comes out, the leader of each group kind of raps and talks about what their gang is, you know. So the girls are like, we don't take any guff from no man, and we're gonna take over this town. And then there's one that they had the outrageous braids I remember the bass player from Suicidal Tendencies used to have them, like the real long Robert Trujillo. Now he's from Metallica. Doesn't matter. So and he's sitting there, and they're like almost like the West Coast rappers kind of, and they're talking about how hard they are. And then there's like a pimp with some prostitutes, and then there's like, so there's all these gangs, and then there's this one gang who's like kind of own the clubs and the whorehouses. And they just initiated a new warlord, and he was taking over, and he had a samurai helmet on. So very flamboyant characters, very kind of comical stereotypes of you know, each one. But then there's the last one, which is Musashino Saru. The Musashino gang is like all about friendship and love and loyalty and care, and like, so they're like this gang that's happy-go-lucky, and they don't fight, and they want every tribe to be like them. You know, they're kind of like the heartbeat of joy and happiness, and all around them is like the hardcore gangsters, you know. So, you know, Mira has this plan to wipe out all the tribes, but he really hates the happy gang. And, you know, Mira is played by a Japanese actor who is basically, he is literally throwing some wasabi on the scenery and chewing it. He is off the chains crazy. It was very, like, Hopper-esque. Bupa is like Hopper, and he would be like, I don't know who's crazy now, whatever, a young crazy guy. The two of them together, because Bupa is, he's like, he reminds me of like a lounge singer. He's always in gold, and he wears suits, and he's a cannibal, and he eats, he snatches women off the street, and then like his weird gang cooks them, that's what they eat. And his number one, who is Mira, is just this brash, really arrogant, really over-the-top character. And there's another guy skulking around who's kind of the number one hitman for this group. So like, every character is odd in its own weird way. You know, and as these two ramp up to try and make all the tribes kill each other, you know, and then there's another overarching story. We'll go to a quick break, and then when I come back, I'll see how succinctly I can wrap this up into a nice little package, because there is a lot going on, even though it is just this absurdity as you're watching it. Okay, I'll be right back.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
Rock and Roll High School is an album and a movie. Vince Van Patten is crazy about PJ Souls, but she wants to live a rock and roll fantasy with her favorite group, the Ramones. The new principal tries to stop the music, but the kids rock and wreck the school. Rock and Roll High School, the school where the students rule. Your school could be next. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Rock and Roll High School, the school where the students rule. The new principal hates the students, but the kids take over and rock the roof off the school. Dig out the sounds of Paul McCartney and Wings. Fleetwood Mac, Devo, Nick Lowe, Chuck Berry, Todd Rundgren, Vince Maverick, Velvet Underground, Brownsville Station, MC5, Eno, Paley Brothers, Eddie and the Hot Rod, Alice Cooper, and starring the Ramones, Rock and Roll High School.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show is a must for all of you. If you don't go and see it, I shall personally come around to your houses and drag you out by the scruff of the neck. I shall belt you around the mouth and mouth you around the belt. Do you understand what I'm saying? See the Rocky Horror Picture Show, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Hey, hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
Okay, now, this is going to be the Cliff Notes version of this movie and in all of its glory. So, after the bad guy talks about these clans, and each one raps about their shtick, then a truck pulls up, starts grabbing women off the street. There's a girl that's kind of passed out, and I thought it was another girl, but it's actually a small boy, are sitting at a table, and they carry her in, and they throw her into this bus. She's a very beautiful woman. You know, these are all, they're just grabbing, like, kind of like hookers, but this woman is obviously very, I mean, she's a very beautiful actress, too. So they grab her, and she wakes up, and her and the little sidekick boy, you know, her name is Sunmi, but she says, oh, my name's Erica, or vice versa. It doesn't matter. So she's so pretty that they try and, like, the Mira takes her, saying, oh, you're going to be my woman. And she's acting really strange, and she's like, oh, don't you know who my father is? Alluding to, like, if you touch me, you're in, like, a lot of trouble, and they don't care because they're thugs, and thugs don't care. But she had shown up before, and, you know, the good guy clan, the leader of the good guy clan, liked her, Kai. So Kai said, I'm going to go save her. And they go, they break in, and this starts this big fight between Mira and Kai. That's when Mira killed Tara. Yes, Tara. So Kai's friend Tara gets killed, and that's kind of like an igniting point that all the clans get angry. Because I guess Tara was kind of a uniter before the tribes all formed off into their sections. Anyway, then this is all done very strangely. Everything is incredibly stylistically odd and off-putting and strange, but also like kind of funny and also kind of very serious. So it's just you really have to watch this movie to understand how I'm describing it. Honestly. So basically, now they're on the run, and the king bad guy, Boopa, gets a message. The strongest man in the world shows up, and there's this little sidekick who pushes a flashlight, and it projects. The king demon kind of said, hey, my daughter's in Tokyo. Get my daughter back to me and make sure she's a virgin, because he's going to sacrifice her to the Dark Lord so he can continue reigning over the earth. And the bad guy, being like a lounge singer, says, okay, and he sends all his troops to find this girl. And he also says, now it's time to unleash the Waru clan. I'm skipping over some stuff, because time permitting. So now, like, he says, okay, to the head priest, and then he turns off the thing, and he's like, okay, send... Mira, you go with your sidekick and go find this girl for them. And also, the world's strongest guy and his sidekick, they say, no, we're going to go into Tokyo. We'll find her. So they leave. And then that's when the cannibal lounge singer says, okay, Boopa. He's like, okay, well, now it's time to wipe out every tribe, and we're going to just take over this entire city. Release the Waru. And everyone's like, I don't know what a Waru is. Waru is basically, he has this army of henchmen who are all dressed the same. They're going out and they're going to kill every clan. Everyone. They're killing all the, you know, every one of the tribes is supposed to be killed off. So while this is happening, Kai is running along, and Saru and her sidekick are just annihilating everyone. She's like a top martial artist. It's very funny because she just basically beats up everybody. Sometimes she plays shy, and then she just ends up killing somebody, you know. And it's a lot of really good wire fu and kung fu action. It's a really interesting mixture of like baseball bat, street violence, wire fu, kung fu, and then gunplay. It's just this. It's very absurd, but it all kind of meshes and works. I think we're very used to seeing that now, but it doesn't matter. So now they're on there, and then finally they have all the gangs meet up at Kenny's. Oh, but the other thing is, this is all one night. This isn't one of those overtime things. This is like they have a clock there saying, you know, 8 p.m. That's when they start rapping. And this is at 5 a.m. All the gangs are at this Kenny's, which is like the good guys hang out, the happy guys. And they're basically saying, look, we have to fight these guys. They're trying to kill us all. You know, she lays it out. And then every gang, first they fight a little bit, and then they all kind of join forces. And now they're all, and this is like the big confrontation. So all these street gangs show up as one united force at Bupa's hideout. Waru and these gangs are fighting. Kai is running around fighting the number one, which is Mira, and that master killer guy, who's very strange. He has like a room that's made up of living people that are like his tables and chairs, and he sits on them, and they're alive and naked and white. It's very Clockwork Orange-ish and very drug-induced, I think. And, you know, he's a really good killer. He's like the number one killer, really. And, you know, so he's in there. And at some point, he turns on this gigantic wall of spinning blade. And what happens is it just pulls everyone that's fighting in this castle into it, including Bupa. He gets killed. You know, he's machine gunning people with a Gatling gun. Then like a million swords go through him, and he falls into this blade. It's such an oddity. So now all the master people are out there. Mira actually ends up killing that the world's strongest guy, the black guy, who's just kind of running around killing people. And then the girl... No. The girls are stopped fighting, Sorry, everyone. Kai and Mira have, like, their end boss fight. And there's these giant speakers, and this guy starts playing rap, and they start rapping and fighting. And he kicks Mira off, and he falls through some porch rooftops, you know, like a street roof. And then he jumps down there like, okay, now we're all one. We're going to honor our spirits, but we're going to always stay one. And then they keep yelling, Tokyo Tribe, Tokyo Tribe. And so that's the happy ending. There's a part of this movie I didn't need, and that was there's a whole like undercurrent of Mira comparing his genital size to Kai, and that's the biggest man should be the best man, and Kai is supposedly huge. And then there's some off-handed jokes towards the end, and you're like, I don't want this part of this movie, but whatever, it is what it is. Stylistic choices, and that's the ending, you know. And the they don't really do anything with the girl. She doesn't go back to the demon to get sacrificed, the daughter, you know. So she stays with Kai, and kind of a happy ending. Very strange movie. I can't stress enough that this shouldn't work, but when you're watching it, it's kind of cool, and you like it, and you dig it, and it does work. And you're like, okay, well, you know, I don't know. It just, sometimes absurd things mesh together, and it's okay. And this is one of those instances where you're like, wow, this is a really cool movie. I had a lot of fun with it. There's a ton of sex in it, like nudity, not sex, but nudity. And it's just one of those, it's really a one-off. I know they're going to do a second one. I'm sure the manga is probably a very intriguing storyline, because it could go a million different ways. And this was, of course, a movie, so it was kind of tightened up, wrapped up, and off it went, you know. So if you like rap, you have to watch this movie. If you like Japanese culture, you have to watch this movie, because it mashes up both of them in a strange, weird way, you know.
But yeah, I can't say enough good about it. It's very funny. It's just a very funny movie, and I kind of dug it. You know, so you're gonna read this one. It's not English dubbed, so if you better be okay with reading a movie. And other than that, I don't really have any detractors from it. You kind of have to know what you're going into. If your kids are sitting in the room, don't watch this movie. It's psychotic in its level of violence. It's one of those that's so violent it's absurd and funny. You know, I know like Pulp Fiction dipped into that from time to time. Like when he hit a bump and blew Marvin's brains out, you laugh at it. You're not supposed to laugh at somebody getting their head blown off, but it was. It was funny. It strikes a nerve because it's so absurd. You're like, oh my god, you know, what did I just see? And a lot of this movie is, oh my god, what did I just see? So, you know, I'm going to give this like a, this one, boy, I want to say something like a 9, but that's stupid. I mean, I'm going to go with like an 8, 7.5 to 8 in that range as far as out of 10. I would definitely say it's a must see. Only if you want to see something that's really unique and different. And I think that's important. If you want to just keep grinding out the same kind of crap week in and week out, you know, then, or year in and year out, then okay, make safe choices and don't do anything interesting, or you can take a gamble like this one was and, you know, kind of see where it goes. It was definitely worth the trip. So, all right, there you have it. My name's Mal. This has been Asian Cult Cinema. I will see you next week for the show finale. Lots of fanfare and hoopla. I don't think there'll be either of those, but I will. I promise I'll bring you some pinky violence. Last show is going to be one of those ones that you're like, can't miss this one. They're going to talk about stuff you're not supposed to talk about. All right, see you next week, everyone. How did you play us out of here, Don Sullivan?
There was a mushroom, sad little mushroom. There was a meadow, ready to cry. There was a sparrow, gray little sparrow. There was an eagle, silent and high. And the Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh, laugh, laugh. And the Lord, he said, I created for you world of joy from out of the blue. And all that is left to complete the joy, just the laugh of a girl and boy. Yeah, 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 yeah. And there was a garden, beautiful garden, held in the arms of a world without joy.